are moments in our lives where we use an expression in English, give your head a shake. And this new series that we're starting today that I'm calling Reality Check, I really do think that in some ways it will give us an opportunity to give our heads a spiritual shake. I think that it will awaken us to the realities that we may not want to embrace, but if we do, we will be able to face an unknown future with confidence in a known God. We've been in this COVID season far longer than I think any of us would imagine. And I think that the opportunity that this presents us is either to grow and develop a stronger, more intimate, more dynamic relationship with Christ, or to feel like he's distant. He is, where is he? Why is he not involved? Why is he not speaking to us? Why isn't he getting rid of this situation? Why is the church so fragmented? Why is there so many disagreements on what we should or shouldn't do when it comes to things even like restrictions? And it can be a distraction to the point that we're not sure exactly what we should do, how we should take this in, how we should manage our spiritual walk. And so I do believe that whether we find ourselves in that this has been a season of growth in my faith, or whether, you know, it's a bit of a dry season, whether you feel that God is speaking to you frequently, regularly, as you are doing devotions, as you are in prayer, as you're worshiping, or whether it feels like God and you are just not on speaking terms at the moment. Whatever you fit in that or in the spectrum of that, I think that this series will encourage us and will challenge us. Believe that God is sovereign. That is, he's always in control. And he's using what is happening in the world to draw the church and the world to himself. And so it's a double blessing for those who love him. Because we live in this, what is the word that everybody's using? Unprecedented times. And they are, for most of us. We've never lived through anything like this. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to speak of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and how he is our peace, he is our strength, he is our comfort, he is the one who sustains us when everything else in life is just pushing us to the edge. So there's that opportunity, but also it's an opportunity to point our friends, our relatives to Christ, because he is the one who loves us. He's the one who is in control. He has a plan that is going to work out just the way he wants it to, despite everything else that is going on. So this morning we begin with our first sermon, When God Seems Silent. Maybe you find yourself in a season today where God seems silent, where he hasn't said a whole lot lately. And I don't know in your household, but and for those of you online, you can just comment on this. Who is the best in your family at giving the silent treatment? All right, just by a show of hands here, who of you are really good at giving the silent treatment? I see there's a few hands. And, you know, there are seasons where it seems that God is silent. And today we're going to talk about that. So let us pray. You can prepare by opening your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1 or turning on your app to Hebrews chapter 1. Father, we pray that this morning you would speak to us, even if we are in a season of where it seems that you are silent. Maybe we are in a season where we just haven't sensed your presence or heard your voice or have your word come really alive to us. I pray that you would challenge us today and speak us by the power of your Holy Spirit and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I do want to say before I talk about when God seems silent, that for some of us, we have a hard time being silent. We have a hard time listening to the Lord. The pastor's council and the ministry team, we're all doing a devotional called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. It's an 8-week, 5 days a week devotional that has two times a day when you're supposed to set aside to do this devotional. It can be as fast as 5-7 minutes, or it can be a lot longer if you want it to be. The devotionals, both of those, each day begins with, they recommend 2 minutes of silence. And I have found that I can be quiet without, I don't speak. But in my head, I got all kinds of things going on. And the awkward thing is, it's like I automatically default to starting praying in my head. And so as much as sometimes we feel that God might be silent, I think sometimes God is waiting for us to be silent and stop talking so he can speak to us and that we can hear him. And so perhaps we're like, God, why are you not speaking to me? God might be saying, because you're not listening. You're talking too much. And I encourage you, if silence isn't something that you have engaged in, just silence yourself before the Lord. I encourage you to try that this week and see how that goes. So in Samuel, around the time of the history of the people of Israel that we call the time of the judges, Samuel happens to be the last in a long line of judges, and he plays different roles, but he is also known as one of the judges. We hear the story. You remember when the boy Samuel is taken to the temple where he's going to grow up, and he's going to eventually become this very key person in the history of the nation of Israel, and of course also just for the church. But it specifically says on that encounter that some of you may have heard that is found in 1 Samuel chapter 3, where God speaks to this boy, very young boy. It tells us that the context in which God is speaking to this young boy was that in those days the word of the Lord was rare. The word of the Lord was rare, meaning it wasn't very frequent. It wasn't happening all the time. But in those days, in the middle of that season where God seems to not be speaking, he speaks very audibly, very clearly to a young boy and says, this is what is going to happen. So we're not the first ones to experience this sense of the silence of God. Job, we're going to close today's sermon talking a little bit about Job. But Job says, I cry out to you for help, to God, but you do not answer me. And the whole story of Job, if you remember, it begins with an introduction that says that Job was a godly man, but in this cosmic battle of good and evil, Job gets to the brunt of it, at least in this one time, this one season of his life, where things go horribly wrong and he loses everything. And then the rest of the book tells us the story of Job asking questions. And then his friends coming and answering some of those questions, but not in a very helpful way. And it's not until the end of the book, towards the end of the book, that we begin to hear God speaking to Job. But Job has spent a season, apparently, where God hasn't really spoken to him. King David had several instances in his life where he finds this kind of situation. And in one of the Psalms, on several occasions, he says, my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer me. This is from, I believe, Psalm 22, which is the psalm that Jesus quotes when he is on the cross. Remember what he says? My God, why have you forsaken me? And the psalm says, why is your ear so far from my groaning? And so he's in this season of where seemingly God is silent. Of course, throughout biblical history, there were times when God seemed silent, and none stick out more than the 400 years of silence between the two testaments. Approximately 400 years, where as far as we know, God has said very little to a nation that he calls his own, that he chose them, that he picked them, that he brought them to the promised land. But because they had drifted away from him, because they had disobeyed him, they had not heeded his word, God apparently was fairly silent for 400 years. That's a long time, isn't it? scholar and theologian Michael Joseph says, every word God speaks is for a purpose, and every moment of silence is equally purposeful. Can I say that again? Every moment God speaks is for a purpose, and every moment of silence is equally purposeful. It's kind of like sometimes we parents tell our children, especially when they're young, okay, go in your room or sit here and think about this. So in the silence, even then, God is purposeful about that. So that brings us to our text this morning in Hebrews chapter 1. And I'm only going to read the first 1.5 verses. It says this: in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. I'll read it again. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So the book of Hebrews, we don't know who wrote it, but it was definitely written to a people who were living at very hard times in their faith, where the temptation to abandon their newfound faith in Christ and return back to Judaism was a big temptation. As you know, the church was heavily persecuted in the early years, and being this new way in the Roman Empire was not looked upon very kindly, and they were mistreated. They were persecuted. Many of them faced death because of their faith. And out of this season, these people seemingly tempted to abandon their newfound faith. The writer writes to them. They're not in a single church. They're all over the empire. And he writes to them. It's not really a letter, even though we call it the letter to the Hebrews or the epistle to the Hebrews. It's really more like a sermon, a long sermon. And he writes to encourage them to not give up their faith. And he goes on to say that Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than Abraham. Jesus is better than Melchizedek. Jesus is better than the Old Testament sacrificial system. Jesus is better than the priesthood. Jesus is simply better and above all of that, because he is the Son of God, and because he fulfilled all the requirements of the law on our behalf. And because of that, we have this confidence then in him. And the writer of the Hebrews, of the letter, the preacher, says to them, yes, God has spoken to us in previous times, and they would have been very familiar with what we call our Old Testament, the writings of Moses, the books of history, the books of wisdom, and all the prophetic books. And this author says, God has spoken to them through those folks, and in many ways, but now God has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus. You will remember that John, the writer of the Gospel of John, begins by saying and using this word for Jesus, the Word. The Word. And then, of course, says that the Word became flesh. And so God's spoken word found in Jesus. So he has spoken to us. And if you want to know what Jesus spoke to us and what Jesus said to us, read the Gospels. That is the best history that we have of what Jesus actually said. And then the epistles kind of tell us how it impacted the world, how it founded the church, and how the church lived, and how the church survived and has survived until now, because they have founded themselves on the Word of God. So he has spoken to us. So what has Jesus said? I don't want to get into the details of everything Jesus said. Again, you can read that in the Gospels. You will see that we cannot understand Jesus' messages unless we understand the whole issue of the kingdom of God and how it works out in the world, in this world. But I want to say this. If you are finding yourself in a season where it seems that God isn't saying anything, or maybe you're thinking, you know, with everything that is going wrong in our world, where is God? Or if you, deep down in your heart, you say, I wish God would speak. So I want to say this. First of all, that in Jesus, God has spoken definitively. Everything that God wanted to say that hadn't already been said in the Old Testament, Jesus has already said it. God has no more things to say to us that are necessary for us to know him, to know what he desires from us, to know how much he loves us, to know his plan for this world and for the church and for us. He has already spoken and said everything that we need to know for that. That's why I'm saying that he has spoken definitively, authoritatively. His word is true. His word is alive. His word is active. His word will accomplish that for which he sent it out. I want us to understand that. You know, sometimes in some church circles, it's like, I want to go there so I can hear the word from the prophet. Well, if there's a word from the prophet for your life, great, but it cannot contradict this. It cannot be outside of this. This is God's definitive word as he has been spoken especially in his Son. We need to remember that. Of course, it needs to be illumined to our minds by the Holy Spirit so that it becomes alive to us, because it's already alive. But sometimes we need some help so that it has that effect on us. Secondly, in Jesus, God has spoken comprehensively. That's all he has to say. I know that for some this may make people feel uncomfortable, but if God was to say nothing else to us, he does not need to say anything more to us, because he has spoken to us through whom? Jesus, through his Son. What the Son has said, that is true. That's why Jesus said, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And I am the truth. His word is alive. It's life-giving. It's life-transforming. It's comforting. It's encouraging. It's correcting. It's sometimes rebuking. It trains us. It equips us to be the people that God wants us to be. This is his word. This is his word. And Jesus, the writer of Hebrews, says, God has spoken to us through Jesus. Definitively and comprehensively. But thirdly, that in Jesus, God speaks continually to us and to the world. What does that mean? Is that, you know, when you and I say something at a point in time, that's it. We said it then, that's it. What Jesus said at a point in time continues to speak, to reverberate throughout history. And it does not change, and it does not end. There is our kids talked us into watching the Mandalorian series with them. There's a lot of very interesting things in this series. A lot of them very redeeming qualities that you can find, I think, some parallels with the gospel. But one of the characters that appears, whenever he says something, and then he concludes by saying, "I have spoken. I have spoken." I was saying that I think when I preach, instead of saying, "Okay, folks, we're done," I'm just going to start saying, "I have spoken." But when Jesus comes into the world and he goes into his last 3.5 years of life or so, he goes into his ministry, and where he spends much of his time teaching, doing miracles, traveling, and so on, but it centers around his teachings, and he uses his miracles to teach. So when Jesus then is on the cross, when Jesus, of course, then is resurrected and so on, but I think just like Jesus says at the cross, "It is finished," I believe he could easily have said, "I have spoken. I have spoken." And so in Jesus, God has spoken, and that continues to speak to us today. Why? Because his word is alive. His word is alive. His word does not have effect just for when they're spoken. It's now for eternity. And therefore, when God says nothing to us nowadays, when we don't, quote unquote, hear his voice, God is still speaking to us day in, day out. And this is why us being in the Bible, reading and studying it, is so important, because this is often the most common way in which God will speak to us. This week we finished the reading program that we had to read the entire New Testament in a year. So I think Wednesday or Thursday we should have read Revelation 22. That's the end of it. And I trust that you participated in that. And I encourage you to find another one who constantly keeps you in the Word. Whether you want to read through the Bible in a year, you want to spend a year studying a single book, there's plenty of resources to do that. And there's so many layers to God's Word that we can study. And I'm sure that this has happened to you, where you have read a part of the Bible, and someday you're reading it, and in prayer, or you hear someone speak to it, or somebody mentions it in a song, and you're like, wow, it's like I'm hearing it for the first time. Or it comes across and it's like, well, that must be new. I don't remember reading that. And then you go and check it out and you're like, I even highlighted that in my Bible. Because the more we know his Word, the more we love his Word, the more we study his Word, the more that he reveals to us the content of his Word. That's why Scripture again and again encourages us to be in the Word, to study the Word, to know the Word, and to let it point us to Christ. Remember, on two occasions in the life of Jesus, when he's having arguments with the Pharisees and the scribes, and he says, you read the Scriptures very carefully. You are the experts when it comes to the Old Testament. He says, and yet the Old Testament is all about me, and here I am, and you don't recognize me. So we can read it in a way that it does not bless us and challenge us and transform us like God wants us to. That's why they couldn't do it. They just simply could not. And Jesus is often talking about this. It's another occasion where it's kind of a similar story. But it's God's Word. So you remember that he's walking with the two disciples from Jerusalem to Emmaus after he's been resurrected. And they just can't figure out why this guy doesn't know what happened. And then it says that Jesus explains to them about himself, reading the Old Testament, not even the New Testament. So that's why his Word is so important. His Word, that we read it, that we surrender, that we enter it in such a way that we're like, God, I'm going to read your Word. Speak to me, transform me, challenge me, open my eyes. Your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit would illuminate to me so I can understand what you're saying to me, what you're saying to us. So again, in Jesus, God has spoken definitively, comprehensively, and speaks continually to us even to this day. So what do we do, even under those circumstances, when we feel that God is silent or he feels absent? So we look at a little bit of some principles from the book of Job, some things that we can learn. Number one, it's a great opportunity to examine our lives. When God seems silent, it's a good time to examine our lives. Job began to ask himself questions eventually that he would never have asked of himself earlier in his life. And when God finally speaks to him, Job goes, I opened my big mouth and had no idea what I was talking about. In fact, he says, I will put my hand over my mouth and not say anymore because I realize that I don't know what I'm talking about. But he examined himself. Secondly, accept God's authority. When I say that God has spoken to us in Jesus comprehensively and definitively, I mean that he has spoken to us with authority. He runs the universe. He has the power to create. He has the power to raise people into positions of power. He has the power to remove them from that. He has all power. That's what he claims. That is an outrageous claim. And if it's not true, it's crazy. But he says all power has been given to me. All authority. So accept that God has authority. Number three, listen to what God is saying or what he has already said. You remember that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus keeps going. You've heard it said, but this is actually, you've heard it said, you've heard it said, you've heard it said. So the teaching was already here, but they had misunderstood it. They hadn't paid attention to it. So listen, listen to what God has already said. And I can guarantee you, he will speak to you. He will speak to you. If you get into this book, he will speak to you. Number four, in silence, when God seems silent, recognize that silence can be intimate. Isn't it amazing sometimes when you go to a restaurant, for example, and you have this maybe a couple out on a date, and they're talking and they're laughing and they're having all kinds of questions, and they just seem so alive. And then you look over here in another corner, and there's this, you know, like elderly couple in their 70s, and they might be holding hands, they might just be looking at each other. They don't say a whole lot. But you can look at their eyes and you can see the depth of love and commitment and care for one another. And to such extent that they can communicate that sometimes without words. And that is a type of relationship we can also have with God. That we can be so content in what he has already spoken to us. And how that is brought alive to us. That we find the moments of silence beautiful, life-giving, calming, transforming moments. Let us not fear the silence of God. And lastly, even when God seems silent, we can continue talking to him. Because we have this great confidence that he, what? Hears us. That he hears us. So we can continue talking to God regardless of how silent he might seem to be. Keep talking to him. Keep talking. Keep telling him. Never stop talking to him. It's important that we find strength and peace in knowing that even when he seems to say nothing, that he is listening to you. I close with this story. You know that as we celebrated Christmas, that the story of the parents of John the Baptist, they were very old. And when Zechariah, I think that's his name, goes into the Holy of Holies. He's an old man. And the angel appears to him and says, your prayers have been heard. You are going to have a child. And I think that in his mind, or you know, he's like, wait a minute. We have not prayed that for decades. You got this wrong. You've been listening to the wrong prayers. I think that's one of the reasons why he can't actually believe that this is going to happen. Because he hasn't been praying those prayers lately. If the age is as old as we think they are, they honestly probably haven't prayed that for a few decades. And yet, God has heard their prayer. So I want to encourage you in the same way. The prayers that you pray, even when God seems silent, he hears them. He hears them. And the timing of his answers, I do not know. But I know he does hear and I know he answers. So embrace the silence. If this season is what you are facing, a season of where God seems quiet, just embrace it. Keep talking to him. Examine your life. Accept that he has the authority. Know that in his wisdom he will speak at the time that he determines. Listen to what he has already said here. Again, read the Gospels and you will understand what Jesus has to say. And in this way, a season of silence will not be a season of discouragement or a season where like, well, I don't know where God is. I guess I'm just going to go off and do my own thing. But it will be a season of intimacy and of growth. And we will look back and say, wow, what a great work God did in my life when I actually thought he wasn't even talking to me. Lord, I pray that by the power of your word, the word is spoken by Jesus, and Jesus himself as the word from you to us may transform our lives. And even when you seem silent, may we remember that you have spoken definitively and comprehensively, and that in that word of Jesus, you still speak to us today. We thank you for that. Amen.